A battle that led to the designation of a chunk of land as a national monument 16 years ago is being resumed over the proposed expansion of that monument. The Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, as the name implies, protects the zone where the Cascades and Siskiyou mountain ranges meet. President Clinton created the monument by executive order in the middle of 2000. Now there is a proposal on the table to expand the Cascade Siskiyou from a Jackson County core to a larger core with new chunks in Klamath and Siskiyou counties. You'll hear arguments for and against expansion. Dave Willis is with the Soda Mountain Wilderness Council. He is in favor of the expansion. He's here in the studio with me. Dave, welcome to the exchange.
Thanks.
And Pam Marsh is with us as well, not in her capacity as either political candidate or person on the Ashland City Council, but as the co-owner of the Green Springs Inn, which is in the monument, isn't it, Pam?
Yes, in the current monument.
All right. Thanks, you both of you, for joining us today. So let's get started here. Dave Willis, the Soda Mountain Group, I know, has been around for many years. What was the original thrust of the interest? What is so special about these areas that you desired protection for them?
Well, the Soda Mountain Wilderness Council first started focused on what BLM originally said was not even a wilderness study area in the Soda Mountain area. But as we focused on the wilderness qualities, we learned that there were real important ecological values outside areas that qualified for wilderness. And I think those were summed up in what became the proclamation of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, which began with towering fir forests, sunlit oak groves, wildflower-strewn meadows, and steep canyons. The Cascade Siskiyou National Monument is an ecological wonder, with biological diversity unmatched in the Cascade Range. This rich enclave of natural resources is a biological crossroads, the interface of the Cascade, Klamath, and Siskiyou ecoregions in an area of unique geology, biology, climate, and topography. And here's the punchline. The monument is home to a spectacular variety of rare and beautiful species of plants and animals whose survival in this region depends upon its continued ecological integrity.
Meaning protection is the way this is what it's talking about, right?
That's right. And from Time Magazine as well, just in this week's issue, shrunk global wildlife populations by almost 60% in 40 years, according to the World Wildlife Fund. The conservation group said in a new report that populations of mammals, birds, and fish dropped by 58% from 1970 to 2012. Because of human activity, the organization forecasts that the world could lose more than two-thirds of wildlife populations by 2020.
So this is essentially the first monument designation that really is about preserving biological diversity.
The first one specifically established to protect that. Of course, other monuments have, in fact, protected whatever biodiversity was there, but that was the specific purpose mentioned in the proclamation for that. The proclamation talks about not only a spectacular variety of rare and beautiful species of plants and animals, but an exceptional range of fauna, including one of the highest diversities of butterfly species in the United States. Now, who cares about butterflies? But butterflies are the charismatic microfauna of the Cascade Siskiyou Monument because in their larval stage, butterflies tend to focus on a particular host plant. So when you have a high diversity of butterflies, they're an indicator species of high botanical diversity. And that's because the Cascade Siskiyou area, Cascade Siskiyou, denoting the land bridge between the Cascades and Siskiyous, the Siskiyous, the most botanically diverse coniferous forest in North America, if not the world, the Siskiyou ecoregion, and a Noah's Ark of botanical diversity. And this Cascade-Siskiyou land bridge, this connection, is the loading dock to that ark, a real important connection area.
So over the 16 years plus that there has been a Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, Pam Marsh, what has changed? What can people do there that they couldn't used to, or more perhaps accurately, what can they not do now that they used to be able to do?
Well, I think that's a great question because there is a lot of confusion about what a monument actually means to either public access or to the maintenance of private land. In terms of private land ownership, and yes, as you pointed out in the introduction, my family's owned a business in the current realm of the Cascade Siskiyou Monument since 1994. So we were there for half a dozen years before the monument was declared in the year 2000. And what we know is, as private landowners, our rights to develop our business and our property are simply unaffected by the existence of the monument. In fact, in the 15 years since the monument's been in effect, we've significantly expanded our own business onto adjacent property. So our rights to develop are simply continue to be governed by Jackson County and, on a bigger scale, the state of Oregon. In terms of public access, the monument, I think you can argue, actually protects public access to those lands. The monument is governed by a management plan by the BLM. We continue to have access for hunting, for fishing, for hiking. We have lots of customers who come into our inn who are doing all of those things every single day. So actually, the monument protects public access. In very few instances has access been limited. One of those would be, for example, the use of bicycles, because bicycles are such an issue on the terrain.
Because they're not allowed to go cross-country off of trail. They're,
right.
They're allowed on trails, is that right? What's the status of that?
No mechanized or motorized vehicles off designated roads in the monument.
Roads, okay. So not on trails, just
right.
On roads, okay.
Right.
Much more to talk about with Dave Willis and Pam Marsh. They are pro-expansion of the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument. We will hear from folks who are opposed to the expansion around the bottom of the hour. You can join the conversation as well, 800-838-3760. That's the phone number to call if you'd like to get a comment in here. If you'd like to make a comment by email, send that to jx@jeffnet.org. Back with Dave and Pam and you as we talk more about the monument in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are talking about the proposed expansion of the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument, roughly 66,000 acres now. By some accounts, the land area would somewhat come close to doubling in size if expansion plans go through. It would go from a smaller Jackson County core to a core that is still mostly in Jackson County, but with new wings in Klamath and Siskiyou counties as well. We're going to hear pro and con in this hour. Dave Willis and Pam Marsh are with me now, and we'll hear from Heather Tramp and Lee Bradshaw in a bit. Dave and Pam are in favor. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. What is, first of all, let's talk about the current construction of the monument, because there are islands in here. It's not like one big lump of this is all federal land. There are still quite a few pockets of private land in there, too, aren't there?
Yeah. The original monument had 85,000 acres within its outer boundary, and just about 53,000 of those were the actual monument. As Pam mentioned, it's important to stress that only public land is monument land. The Antiquities Act, in which Congress gave the power to protect national monuments, doesn't say go out and find pristine, contiguous blocks of land and protect them. The Antiquities Act lets presidents protect public land that have, in the term of the Act, objects of historic or scientific interest. The spectacular variety of species in the monument are a sort of a meta object of scientific interest, as is the connectivity. And nor does the, again, in the Act doesn't say that the land has to be pristine. And in fact, because a lot of this area is not pristine, is why it needed to be protected, because it's such an important biological pathway, as well as having a lot of biodiversity. It was an unraveling thread because of how it had been treated by the BLM, as well as what was happening on the private land as well. So this has been a recovery project in the beginning to try to make that unraveling thread stop unraveling by using the public land as anchors for protection, and where there are willing sellers for the BLM with special dedicated funds which wouldn't be spent locally unless the BLM got the money to buy land here.
Well, let's get into the willing sellers part, because I know the claim is made that people felt pressured that they needed to sell out to the federal government. How much knowledge do either of you have about that part of the process?
In fact, the BLM has more people lining up to sell than the BLM has money to buy. There's been no pressure at all. I think a number of the timber companies discovered their trees were worth more vertical than horizontal on the way to the mill.
So then, if the protection was there in the first place to make sure that this is essentially like a wildlife corridor, like we used to talk about for the spotted owl, making sure that they can get from island to island of land.
That's right. So they don't have to marry their cousins.
Fair enough. So, but then what's the general realm of need envisioned in the expansion? What other areas are you trying to take in here through the expansion? And where does the expansion plan even come from?
Well, it came from a group of 15 scientists that met for a day here in Southern Oregon University back in January of 2011. They were familiar with the monument, and they asked themselves the question, do the current boundaries of the current monument do the job the proclamation intends? Do the current boundaries protect what the proclamation intends? And they were divided up in subgroups of avian and terrestrial species, aquatic species, botanical veg people, and ecosystem processes. And they all came back, and we weren't surprised that they said the boundaries were too small, because obviously that biodiversity does not come to a screeching halt at the California-Oregon state line. But they all especially felt it should be protected in the same three areas, the Rogue Valley foothills to Cascade Dead Indian Plateau area, important ecotonal areas where species blend, the Klamath River Ridges area down in the Horseshoe Ranch Wildlife Area and Lower Jenny Creek, and the Johnson Fall Creeks area, basically the Jenny Creek watershed up to Surveyor and Buck Mountain as well. They were unanimous from their various disciplines that it should be expanded in those areas, as well as connectivity east and west and directly north as well to strengthen the connections there.
And yet it looks like the land is even blockier than the original monument, as is proposed for expansion, because you have the old checkerboard that existed because of the railroad grant lands, a square mile section for the railroad, a square mile section for sale, et cetera. So you've got alternating sections of land here, which is going to make managing for, it seems like, wildlife and biodiversity resources a little tricky.
Well, it's not exactly a checkerboard, and the largest chunks of private land were left. And again, even private land within the outer boundaries stays private. But again, this public land, where it is an anchor to build out from as far as protecting this connection and protecting the biodiversity is there. And in the future, if there are willing sellers, that might, it's not a checkerboard strictly speaking now, but there is private land interspersed within the outer boundaries. In the future, if private landowners were willing to sell, you know, it would become less blocky.
Let's talk about in particular, the expanded zones in Klamath and Siskiyou counties. This would be the first, if this monument expansion goes through, you're talking about some land on the Siskiyou County side of the state line for the first time. What is in there?
Yeah, most of that Siskiyou County land is already dedicated to conservation in some fashion. The Horseshoe Ranch Wildlife Area, which is co-managed and owned by California Department of Fish and Wildlife and BLM, is very important critical deer winter range. And it seems that the deer don't recognize that state line, because Cal Department of formerly Fish and Game Radio collared deer that winter in the Horseshoe Ranch Wildlife Area, summering as far away as Chiloquin, which shows that that area has a lot of conservation bang for the buck, if you will. Jenny Creek to the east is already a ACEC RNA. But the idea here is these are part of the greater Cascade Siskiyou area, and instead of having these separate management designations, they should be comprehensively managed for protection. In Klamath County, that Surveyor Mountain, Buck Mountain Ridge is important headwaters for the Jenny Creek, for those headwaters to stay as clear and cold as they can, as well as important higher elevation, 6,500 foot at elevation climate refugia for species as the climate warms to be able to retreat to higher habitats.
Let's explain those, the designations. ACEC is Area of Critical Environmental Concern.
That's right.
RNA, Research Natural Area.
Correct.
So it looks like what you're doing, as I look at the map in front of me, is that you've got a couple of these areas that already exist, and you're expanding the monument boundaries to include them, plus some other lands around those.
Exactly.
All right. So, and you've got buy-in, it appears, from both U.S. senators in Oregon. How about from Congressman Greg Walden, who represents this district?
He has signed a letter I haven't seen it, but I'm told that he signed a letter opposing the designation. The Antiquities Act allows presidents to protect public lands in situations just like this, where perhaps the local congressman is against, even though many local citizens are for, the Ashland and Talent mayors, city councils, and Chambers of Commerce Representative Peter Buckley, former deceased Senator Alan Bates, and now his replacement, Senator Kevin Talbert, all in favor. But if it depended on the local congressman and overwhelming local support to get areas protected under the Antiquities Act, we wouldn't have Grand Canyon National Park, which was first a monument. We wouldn't have Grand Teton National Park, which was first a monument by presidential proclamation. We wouldn't have the Olympic National Park, which was first a monument. So the Antiquities Act was made for situations like this, where there's congressional gridlock and where the local congressman doesn't recognize that these public lands belong to all people in the United States and should be managed for more than just be functionally auctioned off to the highest bidder.
So would the expansion, should it happen, be done under the same procedure as the original designation through the Antiquities Act by presidential order? Or are we talking about the congressional? Is there a congressional ability to add on?
There is a congressional ability to add on, and sometimes Congress does make monuments. I don't think that's going to happen in this Congress, even if the Senate goes to the Democrats in this case. Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley, it's important to point out, have in their O&C bill recognized conservation and recreation values in the monument expansion proposed area. They've got the Grizzly Peak Backcountry Primitive Area, scenic status for Jenny Creek under the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act, old growth forage heritage areas, half mile wide protection for the Pacific Crest Trail, and so forth. But that bill hasn't gone anywhere. It doesn't appear it will. And those are still those various separate designations with BLM land in between left out. So it makes more sense because of the ecological values for this area to manage it comprehensively and cohesively for protection rather than just the piecemeal here and there.
Pam Marsh, just to sum up then, before we move on to the anti-expansion side, there was the hearing in Ashland, heard a lot of testimony there in front of the two U.S. senators. There was later hearings before the Jackson and Klamath County Boards of Commissioners, both of whom are on record opposing the expansion of the monument. What can you say to allay their fears and the fears that they represent of a land grab, reduced logging, reduced grazing, reduced county revenue?
I think it's really important that the monument not be viewed as a litmus test for O&C policy or timber policy. The real standard that we should be looking at here is there a scientific mandate for protecting what is really a very small footprint of land within southern Oregon and possibly northern California? We can talk about O&C in other locations. We can look at timber policy statewide. But the question really here is there something very special on this land? Is there a mandate for protecting the critters and the plants and the animals, the biodiversity that is really unique to this area? We know that access to the lands will stay public. We know that private landowners will be protected. This is simply a great step forward and hopefully one of President Obama's last great acts to protect an area that is really astounding in its biodiversity.
A question here from Kathy in Grants Pass before you guys go. Will landowners always have access to their land via roads, et cetera?
It's BLM's policy to allow access to private land, and BLM has allowed access to private land so far.
Policy and so far don't sound like ironclad, though.
There's really nothing ironclad in this world. All we can say is that there are no landowners who have been denied access to their land. However, the public has been denied access to public land by private landowners. So private landowners sort of have a leg up on the public land in this area and other places.
All right. Dave Willis is with the Soda Mountain Wilderness Council. Pam Marsh, the co-owner of the Green Springs Inn in the National Monument, the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. I want to thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.